State, local, and tribal governments are coming up on a deadline to set plans to spend an infusion of pandemic recovery dollars before the funds go away for good. As part of the American Rescue Plan, the Biden administration sent local leaders $350 billion in emergency funding for public health and economic recovery. A significant chunk of that cash has already been spent, but in some cases, there is still money on the table. Afia Atamensa is chief of programs at the nonprofit Community Change. She's spreading the word that it's not too late for people to organize and help local leaders decide how funds could help address inequality in their own towns. She joins us now from New York. Afia, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So can you, first of all, just lay out for us, the American Rescue Plan has this chunk of money. How significant has that been to pandemic recovery and how has it been used?
Oh, wow. I mean, first I should say that, listen, people organized, they voted, they continue to organize. And as a result, one of the things we were able to get was this American Rescue Plan, which, as you mentioned, is $350 billion to states. And just to put that in perspective, that is the largest investment in communities and families since FDR's New Deal. And so people and communities have been able to organize locally to ensure that those funds are used for things, as you said, pandemic relief, affordable housing, infrastructure, small business assistance, just a multitude of things that people need. And so it's been an amazing investment, and we are excited to be working with folks across the country as they are agitating and organizing for what their communities need.
So how much, Afia, of the money is still available at the state and local level, and when does it need to be spent by or at least allocated by?
So about 80% of the monies have already been allocated, but there is still time, right? The monies must be allocated or obligated, rather, by December of 2024. Otherwise, these funds will be returned to the Federal Treasury Department, and we don't want that. So there's time enough for folks to continue to organize and make sure that these monies are allocated to things that they need in their communities.
So your group is helping spread the word about making sure these monies are spent. What are some of the examples of how people are advocating at the very local level for this money to be spent?
You know, this is a great example of both individuals and communities coming together with their local elected officials to be able to both lift up what's needed in their communities. I gave a couple examples, and affordable housing, investments for people who are still dealing with the aftermath of the pandemic, support for people who are out of work. I think there have been some great examples across this country of ensuring that essential workers who may have been unable to access other types of assistance during and after the pandemic, aspects of these funds were able to be used for supporting all of our workers, essential workers rather. And we are excited of the role that we've played both in making sure to get the word out, as you've said, but also providing support to amazing grassroots organizations across the country who are intent on ensuring that these monies are used for the goal of helping individuals and families in impacted communities.
And we do have a senior community organizer from Central Florida Jobs with Justice, Tara Glitter Felton. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Glitter, your coalition works on issues that impact working class people and communities like Cook County, Illinois, Toledo, Ohio, New Orleans, Pittsburgh have used some of their American Rescue Plan money to forgive medical debt for residents. And your organization is trying to do the same in Florida. Tell us more.
Yes, exactly. So actually in Orange County, Florida, over 250,000 people have medical debt. And that's even like a conservative estimate, right? So it's a really big issue. And so the fact that this money could be used to help people with issues related to health, like medical debt, it's just like a very exciting for working class people in the Orlando area.
And how much of a burden is medical debt? You know, some people might say, you know, if you incur a medical debt or any debt, you should pay it. What for working class people particularly is the burden of a medical debt?
Yeah, so I'm glad that you asked that because that's been a bit of the slight pushback we've gotten is that The commission really wants to prioritize what they consider to be the basic needs like food, shelter, water. But to say that debt is not a basic need is kind of like ignoring how intersected these issues are, especially for poor and working class people. So, if I have medical debt, it's going to make me nervous to then go see the doctor. And then I'm pushing off issues for months and then they're harder to deal with. Or, I'm not putting food on the table because I know my child needs to go to the dentist in a few weeks. So it's a very important issue and it's hard to consider it secondary.
And I wonder, Glitter, if you could share with us maybe somebody's story and a personal anecdote of why medical debt and relief is so important.
Yeah, for sure. I'll share one person's story that kind of speaks to the way it just progresses and piles. So there's a woman we work with who had a job in hospitality. She lost her job due to COVID, which already that begins financial burden on their home. She ended up getting long COVID, which had impacts on like her memory, her energy levels. And although she says it's better now, it still impacted her for a year or two afterwards, which impacted her ability to get another job once jobs became available. Unfortunately, their family has been trying to raise funds in order to keep their home, keep food on the table. So a family that was working class and just making it okay, just devastating afterwards. And then, of course, the bills with the long COVID and the hospital visits, et cetera.
And then I guess that all feeds back into being able to afford either your rent or your mortgage payments and affordable housing. And I imagine also people who are incurring, debilitating kinds of medical debt might also be people who have not been able to afford to have health coverage, health insurance coverage. So it almost seems like a bit of a vicious cycle.
Exactly. And unfortunately, that cycle is only becoming worse here in Florida right now. All the states were given the opportunity to expand Medicaid through the COVID-19 pandemic given by the federal government. And Florida was only one of about 10 states that chose not to accept these funds. So folks that had Medicaid coverage during the pandemic are currently losing it. So they're kind of being hit from all angles.
And you mentioned a little bit of pushback to your campaigning. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your campaign, because you have a finite timeline here to be able to convince your local leaders that relieving medical debt is a very worthwhile way to spend this American Rescue Plan money.
Yes. So Orange County, they knew that they didn't want the funds to go back to the federal government, right? So I do see the energy that they had. They allocated the funds very quickly. So in Orange County, all of the funds are allocated. They're all budgeted towards certain projects. However, when you look at their reportings of how much has been obligated or how much has been spent, there's still, according to the records that we've seen, over $100 million remaining to be spent. So that's why it's like it is a finite timeline, because we know that they have projects in mind. But at the time when they made the decision for those projects, we were in like the height of the pandemic. And many community members didn't have the space or capacity to be going to community meetings or to really be leaving their house. So that's why we think it's so important that they listen to the people now as we have the space to organize and be at these meetings, that this is what people want and what they need the money to be spent on.
Yeah. And I wonder to both of you, Glitter first, what do you hope people listening might understand? Because at the heart of what both of you do is community organizing and empowering people to demand what they need. What do you hope people will understand about the American Rescue Plan money and what this opportunity holds? Glitter?
I would hope that people understand that local governments and the government in general should be able to offer them support when they need these things. Some of the pushback we've gotten is that private hospitals offer various programs, but when the government has an opportunity to relieve residents in this way, they should be taking it. Just a few weeks ago, the commissioners weren't aware of this opportunity, or maybe not even aware of how big of an issue it really was for residents. But after many people came, shared bravely what they're experiencing, now it's on their timeline. They're aware of it and they're trying to work with us to make this happen. So your power is in your story, and just coming together, you can really make the change that you and your family and neighbors need.
Afia.
I would add that I would want people to have understood as part of this that taking collective action works. People have the power to shift how legislatures and policies have previously worked. This is just one example, and we really hope people take this opportunity with the American Rescue Plan, as there is a deadline of December 2024, but there is time as state and local municipalities are finishing their upcoming budgets to ensure that your voice is heard and direct these dollars to your communities.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for educating us. Afia Atamensa is Chief of Programs at the Nonprofit Community Change, and Tara Glitter-Felton, Senior Community Organizer for the Coalition Central Florida Jobs with Justice. Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.